at 7:49. About that time when we say good morning to you in Dominica, the region, and the rest of the world. On 95.1, we say good morning. 105.7, 97.5. Sad Telecoms, mapping 2K4 on the internet. TuneInRadio.com, good morning. If you love to hate me, hate to love me. I just love to love the hot seat with Matt in the morning. I love you too. Wherever you are, whatever you may be doing at this time. When was the last time you heard this one? It's a Friday. It is a Friday. Friday, November 28th, 2014. A few more days to go before Election Day. The countdown is on. Yesterday, I had a very interesting conversation with Athi Mate. I asked him this question.
But here's a crucial question, Athi, and I asked it before the break. How far are groups like your group, the electorate, prepared to go? You've just given some real solid information as it relates to voters from overseas coming in, which could tilt the election in favor of the Dominica Labour Party in an unfair way. How far, even with the information that you've given, how far that you guys are prepared to go?
Okay, Matt, in order to understand the answer that I will give, we have to do the following. We have to ask, did this happen before? The answer is yes. What was the outcome? The answer is that the Labour Party won the last election. So the overseas vote was absolutely crucial to the outcome of the 2009 election. So we know that it is, quote unquote, for them, a winning formula. Who is responsible? In other words, before you apply the medicine, you need to know who's responsible. It's like in the drug business. You don't just go after the little guy on the corner smoking a spliff. Where does it come from? Who's producing it? Or shooting up cocaine? Where does that cocaine come from? That's a better example. Where does that cocaine come from? Who's trading with it? Who's importing it? In other words, let's go to the top. Who is responsible for this? It is the top. Who took the decision to go to bring voters in, to pad the list, etc.? It is the leadership of the Labour Party, both the leadership in and out of government. So let us be clear that we know exactly, you know, in this case, who are the drug lords, you know, of this abuse of our democratic right. And it is the leadership of the Labour Party. So they are to blame. They have direct responsibility. At the level of the actual operation, who is to blame? The recruiters, like Michael Leblanc, like Paul Alexander, and like the other people whose names we've called here before, they are directly responsible for operationalizing, for making the decision, for implementing the decision of the leadership. So they are the next level of blame. And I'm going through it that way because we will see how we must respond. And then, finally, it is the people who come, who succumb, who have been bribed. It's like the little guy on the corner. Okay. What do we do as far as the leadership is concerned, the top leadership? You get rid of them. You make sure that everybody who understands what went wrong with democracy in Dominica from 2005 to now goes to the polls early and votes for a change.
Well, you've just said that, Athi Mate, and you will admit that you said that. That they, if they come in, will prevent this from happening.
If they come in. They will help prevent that.
How do you prevent them from coming in?
Well, several things have been done and are being done. We are talking. Believe you me, Matt, they are listening to this program. And they know that they are actively engaged in violating Dominica law. And a lot of, we have reports that this program and our advertising of the implications has caused a lot of people to back down from coming. So that's one thing we can do. But some are still coming. What do we do about those who are coming? Well, we let them know that we've been advised by the U.S. authorities, yes, the U.S. authorities, that although they cannot do anything about the violation of Dominica law, if we give them the evidence we have that somebody in the U.S. is violating a third-party law, they will move on those people. And that information has started to go out to the relevant authorities. So I'm hoping that those of you who are planning to get on that plane in New Jersey on Saturday morning and then get on another plane in Florida, I hope you're listening well. Homeland Security, Internal Revenue, the Immigration Service, the Justice Department, these are the departments that now know who the names of the recruiters are, and frankly, they know who they have recruited, because the U.S. Intelligence Service is absolutely quite on top of these matters, because they're very concerned about violation of the sovereignty and violation of border security, inter-border security. And that's what you're doing. You are allowing yourself for a measly airline ticket, a measly $1,000, to fall into a trap whereby all that you have worked for all your life to get a better life for yourself, your children in New York, in New Jersey, in Florida, that's what you're jeopardizing. And you're allowing people like Paul Alexander and Michael Libler to push you into that situation. And you are, and Michael and Paul, you are allowing the leadership of a Labour Party here that you know has gone wrong, that you know is violating the democratic principles of law and order and good governance, and you're allowing them to push you into that holy hell. So people are listening and people are taking it, but they must also be aware that frankly, we must be prepared to get more, to get a stronger message out there in a more aggressive way. And frankly, you know, people all over the world demonstrate to protect democracy. People stand up for democracy. People sacrifice for democracy. You know, and we applaud those people. These are the people who get Nobel Peace Prizes for doing that. Are we prepared?
Is it too late to take to the streets?
I'm not talking about taking to the streets, Matt. What people have to do now on the streets is talk to each other, dialogue with each other. We need to catch up.
In a very peaceful way. That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah. You know, but I think that if any of those flights arrive, if any of those boats arrive, from the time they get into or are approaching Dominica, they must hear your voices. Matt, you must be there at the ports and airports of Dominica to carry, you know, hopefully what I expect will be a willingness on the parts of Dominicans to say to other Dominicans, hey guys, we're trying to fix this country. Why do you want to come here and keep it unfixed, to keep it broken? We are saying that message now, and we're saying it within the law, and we will always say it within the law. But I really do believe the time is here for Dominicans to be prepared with their little placards or with their t-shirts or with their text messages or with their faxes and whatnot to get the message across. We will not sit by quietly and allow an election process in Dominica to be violated, to be desecrated by people who do not live here and who not want to live here because they want to come in for a day, do this and go back. We will not allow this. This is Afi Martin speaking. But, you know, I'm a citizen of Dominica and I have a right to protect democracy in Dominica. The question is, how many other citizens of Dominica are prepared to protect that right? I speak out. People tell me I speak out too much. Speak up, people. Speak up. Let your voice be heard, because those people going to get on that flight in New Jersey are listening. And they must know that we do not approve of what they are planning to do on the 29th and on other flights and on the 8th of December. Let us go out in our largest numbers. So if some of them do come, we will be able to overpower the impact of the imported vote.
Well, I'll tell you what, from my information, they are, at least some of them are coming and begin to arrive here tomorrow at the Melville Airport. Athi Martin gave a list of names yesterday. He's back on the line with me this morning. Athi, does it still look like they are coming to vote? Good morning.
Good morning, Matt. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, my information is that the Name and Shame campaign is taking some effect. And there are people who are changing their minds or having second thoughts. But you will always have those who, for one reason or another, will brave the storm and will agree to come. Yeah. After all, they're being given... Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're being given $500 pocket change and a ticket. And they are promised that they will be given an additional $500 after they vote. But let me explain something about the mindset of the people who have organized this recruiting drive. So you can see how corrupt it is and how it is really simply determined to distort and destroy the democratic process. We have information that the second payment, the second $500, is made upon the person supplying evidence that they have in fact voted for the Labour Party. Now, how does a voter who goes into the booth and exercises their right in private provide proof that they have in fact voted for Labour? Well, one of those people from 2009 has explained it. He says, you know, we are required to take a photograph of the ballot before putting it in the box. So we use our phones to take a photograph of the ballot, and on presentation of that photograph, we get the second $500. Matt, I hope your listeners are understanding how these people have bastardized and are destroying.
So automatically, Arthur, it means that the commission should put rules in place that you can't enter that booth there with a cell phone.
Well, that would be one way to deal with it. But, you know, people have so little confidence in that present electoral commission, because it is the electoral commission by its very actions or inactions that have allowed this to happen. They knew very well, Matt, that they needed to keep that bloated voting list, because it is from that list that people are able to come in and vote as a dead person or vote, you know, more than once. Because we have also received information from some of the 2009 victims of that recruitment drive, that in some cases they were given more than one ballot paper. So they would go into the booth, they would vote once, maybe in their name, and they would have been given the name of a deceased person in whose name they would vote. So Matt, the entire process has been distorted and destroyed. And if you go back to that tape of Tony Astafan, you know, and his email, I think it was, where he tells the PM, former PM Roosevelt Skerrit, that you know, his legacy of election wins is in danger of being destroyed because there's madness going on at the Electoral Commission, because they want to clean the list and give people identification cards. Tony knew exactly what he was saying, and he knew exactly what they were instructing the Electoral Commission to do. That is why Alec was put there. That is why Kondwani is still there. You know, and because they are just doing the bidding of the people who are in office, who want to stay in office. And they're doing that by destroying the democratic election process. And that is the crime. That is the crime. Because we've spent many, many decades trying to build and craft and refine our democratic process. We've put it into our constitution. We have created laws like the electoral laws that would seek to protect and guide and provide procedures and so forth. And these guys, look at them. They are senior lawyers. The three names I call are all attorneys. Tony, Alec, and Kondwani, they are all officers of the court sworn to protect and uphold the laws of Dominica and the constitution of Dominica. And they are the ones who are actually desecrating those laws and the constitution. How can that be?
But I think because of time limitations, because we have another guest here, it's hours away. And from what I gather, some people are getting on the plane tomorrow. What do you say to these people, and who are these people?
Well, we say to them, look, you know, if you are a person who is properly on the voters list, that is, let's say you might have been away for a while, but in the course of the last 5 years, you've been here and you have ensured that your name is properly registered as per your constitution, your constituency, and your polling state, you have nothing to worry about. If somebody, you can come to Dominica and vote. Preferably, you should come on your own steam, because our law, our electoral law, says that if you have been promised a bribe or you have received some inducement, which is some incentive, some encouragement from somebody to come and vote for a particular party or not to vote for a particular party, then you are guilty of breaking our law. Be aware. I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse, so we are making sure that you know. So if you want to get on that plane in New York or New Jersey tomorrow on American Airlines, I understand it is now from New York to Florida, and then from Florida on a chartered flight to Dominica, you are committing a premeditated crime. And you are doing so under guidance and instructions of people like Paul Alexander and Michael LeBlanc. And I just got a new name this morning of somebody in Antigua. There's a Donna Dodds living in Antigua who's engaged in the same kind of perpetration of a crime against our laws and against our democratic electoral process. Donna Dodds. Why are you doing this? So all we are doing right now is letting the world know. And before the end of today, a whole lot of people and a whole lot of institutions and organizations will know that there are some people who are hell-bent on destroying Dominica's democratic process. We are asking for their help in stopping them. If they come on the plane, even if they get it, because there are many, many of those recruited voters here already. Many of them are here. They're listening to you, Matt. They're listening to your program. So we are telling them, do not allow yourself to fall on the wrong side of the law. You may believe you're going to get away with it, but by the time you do this and go back to wherever it is, whether the VIs or the mainland, the authorities of that country are going to have your name. They are going to have the name of the person who recruited you. And guess what? In some cases, you have been tape recorded. Your telephone conversations with the recruiters have been tape recorded. Not by us. We don't have the capacity to do that. But the authorities in those countries who are very anxious about their own border security, that somebody can be in the United States recruiting people to break a law in a second country, this speaks to a threat to the sovereign borders of the United States, which is why they are interested. And of course, they want to know who's got all this money to pay 40, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300, 400 people, $1,000 to come to Dominica just to do that and go back. Who has that kind of money? Where does that money come from? And they are discovering it's coming from the sale of passports. Who have these passports been sold to? They've been sold to a bunch of nefarious people. We don't even know. We are hearing, even from Angelo again this morning, those people don't even have to come to Dominica. So you must understand that the international community that is very concerned about, you know, terrorism and very concerned about the movement of people across borders using other countries' passports, is very concerned that the money from the sale of these passports is part of what is financing your trip to Dominica, your home, to engage in this illegal atmosphere, illegal activity. And you could have avoided all that by, on one of your previous trips, just re-register. Just go to the electoral office or to your constituency registering office and say, I'm home, my name is so-and-so, and so I just want to make sure my name is on the list, I'm re-registering. That is so easy to do today. You have 5 minutes, yet you didn't do that. Some of you are on welfare, you're not working, so I guess you have the time, you can come. But some of those recruiters that are talking to you are illegal immigrants in the U.S. as well. We know of at least one who's an illegal resident.
Is there one in Tortola as well, from what I'm gathering?
There's also one in Tortola, you know, I'm doing the wrongs. So you know, and of course there are people in Guadeloupe and all that kind of stuff. So it's really quite an exercise. And you know what amazes me, Matt? How is it possible that these people are trying to say this, oh, we love Dominica, we love our country, that's why we come into vote. So if you love your country so much, if these recruiters, Paul Alexander, Michael, Donna, and all of the others love their country so much, why haven't they over the last 10 or 14 years organized the same people into investment groups that could kind of make investments in the economy of Dominica? Why haven't they organized to invite Dominican artists, performers, sportsmen, young people to the United States to be hosted by them so that they can earn some additional money? Why haven't they, you know, found scholarships or found attachment arrangements for young professionals to? Why have they not done all these things that is available for them to do on a year-round basis? But when time comes for election, somebody can induce them with $1,000.
Athi, I'll tell you what, maybe we'll continue our conversation this afternoon on Talk on the Block. I know more names are surfacing. I will get you more information. Again, from what we're gathering, the first plane, there's some people in Dominica already, I'm being told, but the first plane leaving North America, that might be tomorrow morning from New Jersey. We're keeping watch and, you know, trying to alert you as to what is going on. Dominica, it's 449. We'll take two phone calls and we'll get to our guest here who'll talk to us for a few minutes this morning from the Mau constituency. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Namad.
Yes, good morning.
Can you tell me what is Prince Kailash's phone number, please?
Prince Kailash's phone number, Prince Kailash. You can get him at the Fortune Hotel this morning. I think he has maybe 2 or 3 hours in Dominica. So call 448-5000. Thank you. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, good day.
Yes.
You see the incompetence of this government again, calling election on Christian, a family time, a Christian time where he professes to be a Christian, and the Dominican people in a bad situation.
But I'll tell you what, it's water under the bridge. It has already been called. Focus. Hello, talk to me. We're moving on. 449, the date has already been called, my friend. You can't be crying over spilled milk. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, man.
Yes.
But I know of an SG, that's the initials of Dongli, who I saw in jail for 2 weeks now, and she's living in the tent. And I have a strong feeling that she's here to vote. I'm going to get some more information on that. And when I get it, I'll expose her.
Thank you very much. Everybody in the various communities doing their own works, looking at that list. There are a few people on that list already dead. Some people are overseas, and we're hearing that, you know, there are reports that some people may be voting in two constituencies. You have to keep your eyes open, okay? Thank you very much. Hello, talk to me.
Good morning, Patron.
Morning, Pat.
I want to give 120% support to Afi.
Yeah.
And also to let him know, last night I got a call from the U.S. that a contact has been made within the Homeland Security. A contact has been made there. So we know for sure that they are paying attention to what is going on.
So Homeland Security, from your reports, are paying attention?
Yes. And I also want to make an appeal to the Dominicans out there. You know, I want to ask you two questions. Question number one, if this government was doing good for the country and pleasing the country, why would they need to bring you all down to vote for them? Do you think the local people in Dominica don't like good governance or don't like advancement? That is why they vote in them all, because they're doing good. And the other question is, for such a poor country like Dominica, which hardly produces anything, which is even now importing agricultural products, countries like Trinidad, that while oil rich, cannot afford to pay voters passage to bring them down to vote and pay them. You're not asking yourself how a poor country like Dominica, it doesn't have a proper hospital, it doesn't have medicine in the hospital, the roads and the sidewalk are in bad condition. People in Dominica cannot afford a $5 top up on their phones. How can a poor country like that afford tickets to bring you all down and pay you all to vote? You all are not asking yourself a question at all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We'll take one final phone call. It's 449-3095, Concern Mountain, as it relates to overseas voters, the illegal ones that less come into Dominica to vote. And as I told you, reports indicate that the first plane may be leaving New Jersey down to Florida and chartered into the Pierre Charles or the Douglas Charles Airport. Hello, talk to me.
There's some information, like in relation to the people taking the photographs of the ballot, that can't be done, you know, because you can't enter the voting area with a camera, a cell phone, anything.
It should not be done, but it has been done.
Cannot be done.
I'm saying it should not be done, but I'm telling you it has been done because I've seen it.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
I've seen
pictures of person's ballot. Yes, I have. All right, thank you very much. So this is not second-hand information. I've seen it. Hello, talk to me. 449-3095. 449-3096. But as Arthur is indicating, monies have been promised. And to get the second half of your money, you're paid $500 up front from reports. And you need to show that you voted the Labour Party with a picture of that ballot. And then you are, according to Arthur Mata this morning, given the second half. Very interesting information. Hello. Hi.
Matt, how are you doing?
Good.
Matt, I too am aware that pictures were taken in the past of person's ballot.
Yes.
In the Roosevelt Valley in 2009, I know personally of two people who were given a sum of money before election day, and they were told to vote for Dr. McIntyre, take a picture of the ballot, and bring the picture to get the rest of the money. And I know some of them are very angry because they never got that balance of that money. I personally know one of them who did not get the promise, so I'm not sure she will fall for it this time around.
All right, thank you very much. I know one guy from my constituency who took a picture of that ballot, but he has decided this time, I can tell you, that he's not coming back. He doesn't want to participate in, you know, this illegal act. 8:40, we're coming back right after this, and we'll be talking a little more about this, talk on the block right after the news at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. We're coming back, Dominica, right after this.
Nurses, teachers, public servants, time to change the government. Join the change movement at St. Joseph this Sunday, 30th November. Monday, December 8th is election day, and it's time to vote the saw for sure. Come join Mona Williams and Team Dominica and show the awesome power of the people. Come, the old ways must be gone. It's time for a change of attitude towards the women of Waitukuvale. Come in your numbers and rally with Monel. The young, the elderly, the men, the boys, the girls, women, rastas and ghetto boys. Come, this is your time. Out in numbers in St. Joseph this Sunday, 30th of November from 3 p.m. Come, Team Dominica, Lennox Linton the leader, and all the people that come together to make Dominica better. Come this Sunday to St. Joseph. Remember, it's the saw for sure.
How can I The United Workers Party, Team Dominica, alongside your incoming parliamentary representative for the Corleo constituency, Honorable Nicholas George, present the Ipswich Lime and the Victory for Change rally this Friday, November 28th at the Laplace Dam in Corleo from 7 p.m. This rally is dedicated to all fishermen, fish vendors, little bars, restaurateurs, hoteliers on the West Coast, and the consumers of fish island-wide. Come here, your incoming parrot unfolds his plans and programs for the constituency. Come here from local speakers, future parliamentary representatives such as Joseph Isaac, Joshua Francis, Thompson Fountain, Danny Lugay, Deputy Leader Claudia Sanford, Party President Ezekiel Basil, Monel Williams, Higgs Adams, JJ Faposi, Unica Victor, Hector Sparks John, Honorable Ron Green, your next Prime Minister, Honorable Lennox Linton, and other party officials of Team Dominica. Live entertainment by local acts and King Dice. So this Friday, we're liming in the fishing communities of Corleo, Biosh, and Yobla for the first ever Eat Fish Lime and Victory for Change rally with Honorable Nicholas George, Leader Lennox Linton, and Team Dominica. Worker! Remember, the symbol is the saw. Change is a must, not an option.
All right, Dominica, we're here, and this is the hot set. It's so hot. You have so many things to talk about, and so, you know, limited time to do so. But let me say good morning, a special good morning to our guest in studios. Let me allow him to introduce himself from the Maho constituency. He will be representing the United Workers Party on that ticket there.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning to the Maho constituency. Good morning, Dominica. Here and abroad on the internet, on the television, wherever you are, I'm Felix Thomas, the candidate for the Maho constituency on the United Workers Party ticket.
On the United Workers Party ticket, let's hit the ground running. What's the environment there politically in Maho at this time? Felix Thomas, are you ready? You know, it has always been said that Blackmore is a hard guy to beat. Is that true?
Well, Matt, since I came into the ring, I have never believed that Blackmore is a hard guy to beat, because the constituents of Maho, they have been calling for better representation in the form of a representative, in terms of personality, in terms of somebody who is capable to listen to them, in terms of somebody who is able to come and sit and plan the affairs of the constituency in every hamlet, Matt.
Are you suggesting that Mr. Blackmore have not been doing this?
No, Mr. Blackmore has never sat down and planned anything for the constituency during his tenure as the candidate. His activity has been on an ad hoc manner. It's nothing planned, and it has been very chaotic. And right now,
so are you suggesting that the constituents themselves have not been involved?
Exactly. The constituents have not been involved. And I can give you a few examples.
I'm listening.
Right. For instance, Matthew, when we look at the agricultural sector and we see how Mr. Blackmore has been going about giving out fertilizer, I mean, Mr. Blackmore is not the Minister of Agriculture, does not represent any farmers group or any farmers association. And overnight, you have fertilizer being distributed in Campbell and other parts of the constituencies. And what this has caused is a lot of problems. The inputs which are funded by the state funds are not going to the right persons. So we have a divisive thing. We have a lot of infrastructure that's needed in the constituency, in different hamlets, to create employment, to have access to lands and so. And Matt, for the past 14 years, there is one particular road from Campbell to Despoir, and we call that the Aliquette Road. And United Workers Party left this road 80% complete. Cars used to drive there to go up Sylvan and Doubles. This road remains abandoned. There have been totally no plans for it. And the road from Sylvan to Despoir, since I came in as a candidate for the United Workers Party, we formed our groups across every hamlet from Campbell, Warner, Taru, Kinfield, Massac, Maho, and the constituents identified the needs of the constituency. So we termed this our mini manifesto. And I started the groundwork and moving out and getting the feel of the people while doing our door to door. And it was amazing how people could relate and identify with these exact needs of the constituency. So in terms of recreation facility for the young people, in terms of jobs for the young people, in terms of skills development for the young people, there has been no plan for the past 14 years, going on 15 years, of this Labour Party administration and under the stewardship of Mr. Blackmore.
Let's take it Hamlet by Hamlet, the time that we have. Taro is part of that?
Yes, Taro is part of that. Taro is very important and critical.
What is your support base there?
It's excellent. I mean, United Workers Party have a history of topping that polls by more than 50%. And the people of Taro are in need of a playing field. And there was earmarked a resource center to be built for Taro under the United Workers Party short term of office, 4.5 years. This has not materialized. There is the issue of a Ravine mini river passing through Taro, which this is still incomplete. The steel is protruding and going there. And in general, the untidiness of the area. Everywhere is untidy. Taro is one of them. We can go to...
I remember, growing up, you could actually take a drive and sit in a restaurant there. There used to be a very busy place.
That's correct.
Nothing seemed to be happening here.
No. Our hamlets have not experienced any growth per se. Where the local economy has been thriving, where persons can get jobs, it has been a failure. Businesses are closing down. There is little hope. There have been no hope, no inspiration. And I think that we, Team Dominica, my colleagues, our leader Lennox Linton, we bring that to our constituents, we bring that to Dominica on a whole. Because individually, each of us come up with some innovative plan, and we are leaders within our constituency. So Matt, when we look at Warner is a very large area. Warner has a lot of land that can be used for an urban development with proper land use and management. We have the skills to bring this forward, to convert Warner into what it should be. When we had a look at the priorities of the government on a national level, and you have lands at Warner there, and we talk about getting four pillar projects from China, and you want to extend and expand the state college. To me, Warner is the ideal location where this facility should have been placed. I mean, take it for granted, you are getting it free, as you say, you borrow money, you don't have to get it, you have an MOU for certain things. But with proper planning and consultation, this Warnerlands should have been developed. And we in the United Workers Party and our constituents of Warner have put together a plan to convert these Warnerlands into an urban development.
Let's look at Jimmit.
Jimmit has a real issue with the little industrial area there up to the Petro-Caribbean. And we need to organize an industrial, a mini industrial estate, because there are a lot of mechanics on the roadside. It's unsightly. There are a lot of different trades going on. We had that former derelict site at Jimmit, which was earmarked to be a recreation ground. The Nehemiah Comprehensive School is in Jimmit. And we have a battle between Mr. Blackmore and the owners of that property as to the use of it. And nothing has materialized so far. Jimmit is in need of proper recreation facilities. And as you talk about Jimmit again, we have the Petro-Caribbean facility there. We've been promised that we would have received fuel at a lower price, or the electricity bill would have been at a lower price. Petro-Caribbean being in Jimmit has not created any economic well-being to the constituents of Maho or the neighboring constituents. Compare that to a time when DCP started, and I am one of the beneficiaries of DCP. And that was started way back in the 50s, 60s. And right now, Petro-Caribbean does not deliver to the economic well-being of the constituents of Mahu.
I'm going to jump all the way to Sylvania area there and come down to Caneville with the limited time that we have.
Sylvania, Matt. Sylvania is very interesting. It's a neglected community. It's an agricultural-based community. We have issues with our road from Sylvania to Despo. And the constituents have been complaining about that. But since we put this on our manifesto, our mini-manifesto, when we met with the residents, Matt, suddenly you heard award of contracts and breaking ceremony and all those things. So it's good since I came in on the scene that Mr. Blackmore started running around and doing things that's been on our manifesto.
You say running around?
Running around, okay? And issuing contracts without the proper procurement procedures, as usual, that's the norm of this administration.
So a lot is happening there, but more, as you said, in a vicified manner.
Yeah, it's a reactive process, and you wonder, when will it finish? What's the time frame? What's the budget on it? And whether these allocations are there. And we know for sure many of these contractors and these persons who are doing those works are complaining and they're struggling for their payments. The other matter with Sylvania area is that we need proper portable pipe-borne water supply. And this is not the case. It's been promised for how many years? It has not been there. So I will bring that to the hamlet. And the hamlet and the rest of the constituency have no problem and no choice with me being able to do it. And I think they'll be voting for the saw come the 8th of December.
Caneville
has this industrial area and this zone which need to be activated, organized, and to encourage more manufacturing, to encourage more areas of assembling of different components that we can sell in the case of renewable energy. We are looking at where we can identify with private sector people to bring this on board so that we can have skills development in terms of solar panel development and whatnot. On the side of the people, we're looking at the Old Mill Cultural Center, which needs to be developed into some kind of active museum. I mean, this should be a major tourism stop in that area. So we'll be developing that area, as well as a proper recreation facility for the young people in Caneville will be looked at. Caneville also have this squatter land issue. You had that on your program several times. We in Team Dominica will be looking at the policy up there, the remainder of the lands up at the Caneville East, so that we can provide proper housing facility, which could be starter homes or mini condominiums for the young people and for the squatters.
So the issue of squatter regularization, if you will be looked at seriously.
Yes, man.
All right, 449, we have about 5 minutes. If you want to call and ask a question, Maho is also the major, if you will, hamlet in your constituency.
It is. Uh-huh. Maho is the major hamlet, and presently Maho is asleep. And we'll be waking Maho up. We have the Maho fisheries, which started by the United Workers Party with a jetty out there since storms a couple of years ago have damaged the pier. It is in a state of repair. We will repair that. There is a building where the fisher folks operate. We'll improve that. We'll set up a cooperative for fishing so that the fishermen will no longer have to stay on the roadside. And every day you pass in Maui, you can see that the fishermen are struggling. So we'll turn out that fishing thing into a real industry, into a real business, and move forward. We also have to develop the Maho market, the resource center aspect of the Maho community. And we're also looking at doing skills training, continuing education in the various trades of automobile mechanics, body repair, carpentry, electrical, and all those allied trades. So we'll be empowering young people so that they have a skill.
Let's take a phone call quickly here. Hello, talk to me.
Yes, good morning, Matt. Good morning, Pareb.
Good morning.
I must welcome you and endorse you this morning. And I want to say you have really brought change, because for the first time, I have heard the parliamentary representative coming up to Warner and having such a good meeting. We did not get meeting, and now you have already brought change. Thank you very much for bringing change to our community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Mark.
Yes.
And how are you?
Good.
And good morning to your guests.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Mark, as you know, as from the time I wake up that receiver, they know is Ralph Maglo. Mr. Mark is ashamed to see the road leading to Tito Gorge.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Maglo, give me a call later. We're focusing on the Mao constituency. You almost sound like the pirate. Always speaking to the issues. We'll give you a chance to talk about that later in the valley. Hello, talk to me.
Matt, that's the mobile man, my brother.
Yes.
And good morning to Mr. Felix Thomas at that time, my brother.
Uh-huh. Good morning, mobile man.
Brother, yeah, I have confidence in you, what you will bring up, you know, to the people in Kenfield and Mao, you know. I always listen to you, how you will bring up and raise up the people's lives. But Mr. Felix Thomas and Matt, I'm recording to the mobile man here to pass a law. Once you go and vote, leave all cell phones down. So that when you're alone in that box, you could move a picture to let your parents see you vote for him, whatever it is. So all cell phones should be banned.
All right, Carl. I'll tell you what, a very good point there. But Felix, how concerned you are this time about the diaspora, the people coming in to vote? Is that a concern in Maho?
Yes, it's a concern in my home, right? And the main concern that I have is that, I mean, how can a former police officer, Mr. Blackmore, a minister of government, and persons, I mean, go into that activity to create bribes and start breaking the electoral law? And I have confidence in the people of Mao, and I have confidence in the entire voting public of Dominica. We have seen the misery of the past 14 years. The United Workers Party is not about coming and take power. It's about we professional colleagues coming, men and women, coming together under our leader, Lennox Linton, to rescue our country. We have seen there has been no respect for rule of law, and this is a clear example of it. I mean, you get in the evidence, you get in the call. Nobody dreams of those things, but it's a reality. We heard in the past that United Workers Party was calling for boots on the ground. Today, Matt, I want to ask people to put boots on the ground come the 8th of December. Boots on the ground, you go and vote. Boots on the ground, you put your hand on the shoes and you vote next to the saw. So you don't see the shoes. Because anytime you put the Labour Party back in power, you will be creating the worst nightmare for the future of our country. It's about the youth. It's about you. It's about the elderly. It's about honesty. It's about integrity. It's about persons who are capable of developing this country. It's about persons who can look at the future of this country. We in Team Dominica represent such persons where we look at our country. We care for our country. And we know for sure that our country has the right persons who can vote against that by putting the boots on the ground come election day. And we will be your next government when you do that.
All right. So going forward, finally, you're very confident.
Madam, very confident. My first time around, within a short space of time, carrying the message on the ground to the people, making contact, knowing for sure that I am the best candidate in this ring, having lived there, having worked there, having been self-employed for 21 years, having been trained in engineering, in project management, having been a past volunteer lecturer at the State College, having been past president of the credit union, have a good idea of finance, understand economics, and personally, having love for my country, having love for my people, and to see my people empowered, I think we will win this election.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Wish you all the best. I'm hoping that we get a chance to talk again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thank you.